All right. Good afternoon, Chair Olson, Commissioners, and Secretary Roebling. Since we're a government organization, I got to hit you with a few acronyms to start. So first, Kip talked about urban and community fisheries. That's the UCF. I occasionally mix it up with UFC, and anyways. And then an urban fishing pond, that's a UFP. And those ponds are ones that are found within or near a city of 5,000 or more in South Dakota. I think Iowa goes with 15,000 or more. But and then we have our community fishing pond and CFP, and those ponds are found in communities of less than 5,000 people. That's the designation we use. So what's our resource? What's our urban and community fishing resource in eastern South Dakota? Well, we manage 47 ponds, and I'll say counting because as you saw today, we might be adding one next year right here. There's also one that's in the works in Crooks too. And so some of these seem to be coming online every year. 19 of those are urban, 28 of those are community, and about three quarters of those are located in southeastern South Dakota. You know, we've kind of gone back and forth on this, but we've decided to manage these ponds with statewide fishing regulations. And the reason for this is that we want to keep things simple. We don't want inadvertent violations with novice anglers or kids. And I was happy to find out that Iowa, just recently, Iowa does the same thing for the same reasons. So as Kip mentioned, you know, our primary form of management is stocking catchable or adult fish into these ponds. So what does that look like? And for 2022, we moved over 7,000 catchable fish from our public waters. And those fish included pike, crappies, bluegill, and yellow perch. We stocked over 21,000 rainbow trout from our hatcheries this last spring and added another 12,000 plus trout from our hatcheries this fall. We also, 2,700 hybrid sunfish were reared in our hatcheries and stocked out this year. So that comes to a total of just under 44,000 catchable size fish. So this is a pretty sizable effort of time and money that are put into maintaining these community and urban fishing ponds. In 2017, we did a creel survey of six community fishing ponds in the southeast. I think all of them were south of Sioux Falls. And we asked people, what's your favorite species to catch? And we left walleye off the list. But we also asked the person who was being interviewed what their age was here. But this is how the kids responded to that. About three quarters of the kids said, we want to catch a bass. That's our favorite species, followed by pike and catfish. Now, if you look at the adults, the majority said they want to catch perch. And then the second most popular was bass. And then even though it doesn't match their bluegill. So it's pretty evident that there's a disconnect between the kids and possibly their parents. The kids want to catch fish that fight hard, bite hard. And the parents want to catch something that tastes good in batter and with a glass of beer or a glass of white wine. So anyways, one thing you'll notice, if you remember the slides with the stockings on it, one thing that was absent was largemouth bass this year. We do not have very good sources of largemouth bass in eastern South Dakota. And yet the kids really want bass in these ponds. And one way to remedy this is through our recirculating aquaculture systems. And I think you guys are all familiar. Did all of you go on the tour of Cleghorn Springs last year, or was it earlier this year? And you'll see that facility is coming online. And what that facility is going to allow us to do is it's going to provide us with a AIS free source of catchable size fish to stock into these ponds. And really what it's going to fill is that void of these warm water fish that we need, largemouth bass, bluegill, channel catfish. And according to Dr. Barnes, they can produce these fish in 1 year. So that works out really well. Right now, Cleghorn has 5-inch bass on site and 9-inch walleyes that are those will be stocked into I think Western South Dakota or Black Hills Lakes. Dr. Barnes said that by summer 2023, that facility should be up to about 50% of its total production, which means eventually they're going to be able to produce about 10,000 of these catchable bass at Cleghorn for stocking into our ponds. And they also say that they'll be able to meet our urban and community fishery bluegill and catfish needs. So this is a big plus for these urban and community fisheries. I think down the road, what they would like to see, and I know that you guys have been working on this, is in order to minimize hauling costs, it would be great if we could get a facility up and running East River, and there you guys are investigating SDSU as a possible facility site. And then the West River needs would be fulfilled by Cleghorn. So how do we evaluate this? Are these stockings working? Is it what people want? Are we getting use out of these? Well, the traditional way of doing this is by doing a krill survey where a clerk goes out and makes counts and interviews anglers. This has been done on the Brookings Lakes Family Park Pond about a decade ago. And then we did do one on some of our smaller community fisheries in 2017. The problem with krill surveys is they are expensive, and we've got a lot of little waters, 47 of them, that need surveys. So we've looked at some other ways of getting estimates of pressure effort, and one of these is to use time-lapse cameras. Unfortunately, this guy got caught in the act, but we use these trail cameras. We often place them in high areas, up in trees, hopefully inconspicuous areas. And these trail cameras are set to take pictures every hour during daylight or even at more frequent times. Some people set them for a half hour or even shorter periods yet. And it's a pretty inexpensive way of getting what we consider precise estimates of fishing pressure, because if you got a krill clerk doing counts, he might only do counts a couple times a week. So we get a lot of these picture counts that we're able to take a look at. Some of the negatives, often we get obstructions, tree branches come down, they block your field of view. We had cattails grow higher than we thought, and all you were looking at were pictures of cattails. Sometimes the batteries go dead. We have had some theft and vandalism. So those are some of the potential negatives, but overall it's a pretty good way of collecting this information. And we've done this on a number of ponds throughout the years now. So I think it's going to be an established standard. We might do this in conjunction with a krill survey so we can collect the interview information. Another thing that's being done now is they've set up kiosks like the one in the picture there. I think that is in Watertown at McLaughlin Park there. But anyways, they've started doing this in the Northeast, and this is based off of work that's been done by Greg Simpson, West River in the Black Hills, and he had set up kiosks in some of these remote fishing locations and collected some pretty good information. Now, Ty Moe's up in Webster set up kiosks, I think, on 7 water bodies in 2021. And he got a mixed response rate. He was able to calculate rate of response, and it ran from about 3.4 to 26.5% of the people out there. Low sample size, And really, he was only able to use the data from one of the seven ponds that had kiosks on it, and that was Hunter's Quarry, which had the 26.5% rate of return. So there might be some work that needs to be done there, and we got to determine whether this is a viable method of collecting data. Finally, everybody's using QR codes now, and so I guess we're going to get into that act. Ty also used QR codes, I think, this year. And surprisingly, I thought everybody's got a phone on them. What a great idea. All they got to do is do this and complete a report on their phone. People love doing it, but he said there were even lower numbers of responses. So he mentioned in the stuff that he sent me that possibly we may need to continue with clerk interviews to get good data. So those are just some of the methods that we use to evaluate our stocking and other management efforts. And with that, Kip or I will take any questions.
Very good. Thanks, Dave. Anybody have any questions for Kip or Lou? Commissioner Risler.
If there's a community that is interested in this, how do they get information, get started? Do they kind of do it on their own and then reach out to JFMP for management? How does that work?
Yeah, they can just contact GFNP Aquatics in the area. If it's up in the Northeast, they could contact the Webster office anywhere from Brookings South. They could contact us, and if they're in a different region, we'll send them in the right direction. But we would. If they contact us, we can go out, take a look at their pond, make sure that it would work for something like this. And more often than not, we probably will add them to the list and try to manage their pond either through stocking or enhancing angler access. Kip?
Very good. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.